We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Now, if you have before you your Bible, I'd like to have you turn to the 15th verse of the 17th Psalm. This is a wonderful verse. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, I'm confident that these are the words that our Lord himself is saying. You know, there's much in the book of Psalms, as it is all through the Old Testament, that's prophetic. You know, sometimes we don't understand some of the Psalms. There are certain statements and certain prayers in these Psalms because we do not stop to realize that they are prophetic. They have to do with judgments on the earth. They have to do with the cry of Israel in time of persecution. But you'll find the gospel in the Psalms. You'll find so much that applies to everyday practical Christian living. In fact, I think that any problem that you need to solve as a Christian, you can find the basic solution for that problem in the book of Psalms. I've had a wonderful time recently studying these verses anew and trying to fathom the depth of the meaning of some of these words. As for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. Now, the only person that ever lived on earth who never sinned was the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. He's the one flawless character in history. He's the only person that could ever look in the face of his enemies and say, "Who convinces me of sin?" He was a sinless Son of God, the spotless Lamb. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us on Calvary's cross. So now he said, "I will behold thy face in righteousness." If you ever look into the face of God and stand when you look into his face, it'll not be in your righteousness. It'll be in his righteousness. The only righteousness that'll ever get you by is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he purchased with his blood a pardon for every sinner. Now, if you want this pardon, you can go to Jesus Christ today, and he'll hand you a receipt. He paid the debt for you on the cross. There's nothing against you. The debt's paid if you're willing to trust him today. He becomes your Savior and will give you a receipt for the debt which he paid for you at Calvary's cross. Then someday you can look into the face of God in his righteousness and not be ashamed in the presence of God and all the holy angels. And forever you can live in a sinless city and walk down by rights the streets of gold. We are saved by grace, but we are saved. When you get to heaven and walk down the streets of gold in that wonderful city, you have a right on those streets. You belong there. You have a title to mansions in the sky. You have a home in that city. You didn't make it. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't buy it. You couldn't buy it. You didn't have the price with which to pay. But Jesus bought it for you. And all you have to do is to accept what he's done for you. And then you are clothed with his righteousness. If I had to stand before God today and somebody said to me, "What is your claim to a place in heaven?" I'd just say, "Jesus, that's my only claim. I've tried to live right. I've tried to be decent. I've tried to be honest and straight. But I know I've sinned, and I've sinned against the holy God. But I trust him. He died for me. He's my Savior. I'm under his blood. I have his righteousness. And I can stand in God's presence and look into the eye of God, unashamed and unafraid, because his Son, the righteous Son of God, the sinless Son of God, the flawless, spotless Lamb of God, died on Calvary's cross and took all my sins and bore them in his body. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful plan of salvation. Did you know, men and women, this differs from all the religions of the world. All the religions of men say do and live. The religion of the Bible says live and do. You know, I know the Bible's God's book. I know the plan of salvation that I'm talking to you about now is God's plan. I know men. I know the mental processes of people. Every man's mental process runs something like this. What good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? What thing can I do to get a house in heaven? What thing can I accomplish that'll fix things all right? It's always man, do what I can do. See, that's the story of the fall. Adam and Eve went out into life when they turned their back on God in the Garden of Eden to make themselves their own saviors. They were to become like God in the pursuit of knowledge, in their own strength, their own ability. They were to become godlike. And all down the ages, generation after generation, men have tried to find a way to save themselves, and they've never been able to do it. Still, the world's full of sinners, and the world is full of sin and sinning, and it goes on and on and on. Generations come and generations go. Human nature never has changed. The human nature today is the human nature of 1,000 years ago. The human nature of this generation will be the human nature of the next generation. Man is a sinner. He cannot save himself. The Bible said he was born in sin. The Bible said he was conceived in iniquity. Do you get that picture? When we talk about man being a depraved man, we do not mean that man have no good traits. A dog can be gentle. A dog can be loyal. Even a family horse can be a very gentle, friendly animal. And you can have certain good traits, certain human impulses that are generous and kind. But the best act of the best man presented to God as a claim on God for salvation, you know what God says about it? He said, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So here the Lord is saying, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll look into your face. I came from heaven to earth and walked the lowly way of earth. Lived with man. Lived in a sinful world, but lived a sinless life. And then, after about 33 years of that kind of life, after 33 years of unselfishness, after 33 years when I was brought to the courts and the judge looked at me and said, well, I have to admit, he's all right. I can find no fault with him. I just can't find anything wrong with him. And the world can't find anything wrong with him. So after all that time, now he comes up and goes to the cross and dies. And when he hung on the cross, watch him how different he is from anyone else. They're spitting at him. They're mocking him. They're cursing him. They've driven nails through his hands and a spike through his feet. And he's hanging there. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then he went on as the darkness settled. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, the righteous God. God, the one who is infinitely holy. Turning his back on his righteous, sinless Son as his Son's dying. But God did that. So Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was to be made sin for us, and God could not look on sin. But oh, how his heart must have hurt. For remember that God gave Jesus. Jesus gave himself, but God gave the Son to die. And he said, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. Isn't it wonderful that you and I, poor, miserable sinners, we all look back behind us at things we've done. There isn't anybody listening to me this morning but can look back in your life and say, that wasn't right. I lied one time. I did this what I shouldn't have done. I broke my word. I've told to somebody today that's been untrue to your own home and your own family. I've told to somebody today that's pinched wrinkles in the face of your mother and you stepped on your father's heart. I've talked to somebody today that sinned as only God knows. Nobody knows. One time I was talking to a great preacher, and this preacher said, he seemed to be such a good man. I said, Doctor, you must have been good all your life. Oh, he said, Bob, you don't know how I've sinned against God. And I've been out so long, many women of evangelistic work, I just can't conceive of the sins some people have committed, how they could do certain things, how they could commit certain sins. I've had women to wring their hands and cry out and say, oh, God, when I was a girl, my life was so full of sin, and nobody knows it. And I'm haunted now with memories of the past as I hold my little babies in my arms. Oh, God, what a sinner I've been. Is there any mercy for me? Yes, there's mercy for you. There's mercy for all the people. You too can someday behold the face of God in righteousness. Not your righteousness. Not yours. You haven't any. Yours is filthy rags. And if you went up today and said, here's my life, God, I present it to you. the holy God would have to say, however much he may love you, however compassionate and tender he might be, God would say, well, I'm a judge, a just judge, and the soul that sinned in it shall die, and you've sinned, and you're dead in trespasses and sin. I'm sorry. I wanted to save you. I let my son die to save you. I sent the righteous Son of God to earth, and let him live there in the world. We're sinful people, that sinless life. And let him die on the cross so you wouldn't have to be lost. He offered you righteousness. He offered you his righteousness. He offered to put upon you a spotless robe and dress you up for heaven. But you wouldn't accept it. Listen, many women, you better play safe about this thing. You know, I'm talking to church people today. Oh, when I think of the way some church people in this country are living. When I think of the sins of church people. I'm talking to folks last night. Some of you out at cocktail parties, drinking and carousing. Your name on a church record. You're supposed to be Christian people. I'm talking to some of you folks today that last night lived in sin. Out in the world. How sinful some people are living. Church people. Well, you can't tell church people from sinners in this country. If you wanted to kill church people, you wouldn't know who to shoot in most towns. You wouldn't know one from another. What sinners people are. How wicked they live. Some say, oh, I'm for my church, all right. And I'll fight for this program, all right. But men and women, you better be dead sure about your salvation. You better be positive about this thing. You don't have to take any chance with your soul. Don't be a fool. Don't take any chance. Jesus could say, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. And you can say today, I will behold my Father's face, God's face, in the righteousness of his Son. Not in my righteousness. Not in any good deeds I've done. I'll not plead church membership. I'll not plead baptism. I'll not plead self-righteousness. I'll not plead my morality. When I stand in the presence of God, I'll look into his face, and I'll say, God, I'm a sinner. I sinned against you, but your Son died for me. He was righteous. I was unrighteous. He knew no sin, but I knew sin. But I trust him as my Savior. I'm under his blood. And listen, if you do that in all sincerity, you'll have as much right in heaven, I speak reverently, as Jesus Christ himself has. You have his right to stay there. And his right will give you an authority in heaven, a place, a position of standing. And you walk down the streets of gold and somebody said, how did you get here? And you can hand a little receipt and say, listen, you know, he paid my debt. And here's the receipt he gave me, signed with his blood. May God help you who are listening in to trust him as your Savior. Come clean with him. Don't take any chance with your soul. As for me, I'll behold thy face. Not in my righteousness, but in the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.